You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live. Next, featuring intimate and in-depth interviews with Black Hollywood's next edition of stars and influencers. Black Hollywood Live. Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live, next.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Black Hollywood Live. Happy Friday, TGIF, what? Right, guys?
Yeah.
I'm your host, Jessica King, also the producer of Fox's hit show, Dish Nation. Check it out. I am joined by my lovely co-host, comedian extraordinaire, Megan Thomas.
Boom. Gotcha.
Nick Perdue.
Some random guy sitting next to his comedian extraordinaire.
All right. Sorry.
And the wonderful, the beautiful, the lovely Megan Thomas.
Thank you kindly, my dear.
You're welcome.
And we have a very special guest today. He is the hit on the hit TV show for OWN, the haves and the have-nots. You may recognize him as Benny Young. We have Tyler Lepley.
Yay! Thanks, y'all. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks also, for coming.
Also known as Tyler Biceps.
Right? Apparently. Apparently. Can we just call you Biceps?
No. You can't call me Biceps, all right?
All right, well, let's jump right in. I mean, clearly you are very athletic. You
played
some
sports here and there when I was growing up, yeah.
A little bit. You dabbled. Mm-hmm. Three sports star, Central Bucks High School you played.
Central Bucks West, yep.
Basketball, track, football.
Foosball.
You know, just a little bit.
All that, yeah. I had to give up the basketball and the track when I started getting serious with football. I got a scholarship to actually play at Kutztown University, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what position
did you play?
Tailback. Running
okay.
back.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, as you mentioned, you did get your scholarship to Kutztown.
I did.
And had a little altercation.
I did, yeah.
And you got kicked off the team. What was that experience like for you, especially as a teenager?
What was the experience of being kicked off of the football team like? Well, it wasn't fun. At the time, it was very serious at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very difficult period in my life for me to be in because, you know, at 20 years old, I found myself running the campus. You know what I mean? I had, you know, a 200-yard, you know, 3-touchdown game. We would come back to my room and, you know, there might be some people in the room, like, waiting for me. There might be some girls waiting for me.
Like
Varsity Blues type stuff. You know what I mean? Been all up in the bar when I was 19. Like, everyone knew who I was, but I wasn't supposed to be there. But I got all this power from playing football.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You see these kids nowadays, and, you know, mine was even a Division II. I mean, you see it like that times 10 with, like, a Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
Right? People all over them. You get these kids that are thrust into these – you know, huge, powerful positions because you're in the spotlight, so to seem. So when I got humbled, if you will, it was a huge lesson for me. At the time, everything seemed stacked against me. I was in a lot of trouble with the law, and it ended up being like a slap on the wrist through the eyes of the law. You know, there's no felonies or anything like that. You know, a bunch of fines, a couple summary offenses, which are like more fines, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, what it taught me is just you know, how quickly you can be humbled. And I think it helped me out and really prepared me for what I'm about to go into life right now because that was, you know, that was baby power compared to what I'm about to have, what I have now. I mean, you're talking about a small 11,000-person school and now, you know, being on something where the whole world sees you. So it's like, you know, it was definitely a learning lesson for me. I definitely don't think I'd be where I'm at right now if I didn't learn that lesson.
Yeah, it was an eye-opener.
Yeah, for sure.
And you're pretty close with your parents, right?
I am very close with my parents.
Yeah. How did they handle the situation?
It was really hard for them. Again, it was the first time I had ever been in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? They didn't really, it's almost like, you know, it was uncharted territory. I mean, yeah, they're there to support you, but at the end of the day, I mean, you can be a big boy. You're going to have to get through it by yourself. You know, there's nothing they can't really do for me.
Yeah.
I've never grown up with, like, you know, lots of money or, you know, anything given to me. So this was no different. You know, I had a public defender when I was trying to handle all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I had to fight my way back into school because they kicked you out of, they kicked me out of school for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you could appeal it. Mm-hmm. And me being a criminal justice major, I know how to fight a case. So I was like playing lawyer for myself. Mm-hmm. And I went in, I got to cross-examine witnesses and, you know, destroy people's credibility who were saying bad things. And, you know, I ended up fighting my way back into school. And then 2 years later, I ended up graduating. So, you know, it's a success story if you want to look at it in the whole.
Yeah.
And a lot of people only remember, you know, the trouble that I was in. But, you know, it's just like anything else. I mean, you have to go through certain things and learn them, you know, the hard way sometimes. I wish I hadn't. I wish I could just listen to my parents and, you know, not do the wrong things and just, you know, be perfect. But, you know, I'm human. I had to learn the hard way. And at least, you know, a cool thing about it is the fact that, you know, I went through something and did learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a tragedy if you went through this road and didn't learn from it, came out and did the same type of thing, because God doesn't have time for that.
Were your parents pretty strict with you growing up?
Not really. I think that's another reason I had to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
You know, I was the only child, so I was kind of, you know, just like running around getting whatever I want.
spoiled. Go ahead and say it.
Well, you know, like, you know, like spoiled with love and attention. We didn't have too much money, so it's not like you could spoil me with money. But yeah, I mean, I pretty much kind of got my way growing up. I, you know, my parents didn't really hit me or anything like that. Probably should have smacked me around a little more. But I mean, the one thing that my parents always did give me is lots of love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, through that love, I found my way as a man.
Love is all you need.
Yeah.
Love is all you need. Well, so you were mentioning that you graduated with a criminal justice degree. Mm-hmm. But, you know, after college, like a lot of people, it's a hard time finding a job.
Really hard, yeah.
Did you ever think you'd be in that position considering, you know, you went to school, graduated, I'm going to have a job after? Did it ever cross your mind, like, the trouble that I've gotten into or the economy or whatever would cause me to not have a job? Did it ever cross your mind?
Not until I graduated. Like, I remember when I graduated, it was really hard for me.
Okay.
When I graduated, I had this degree now. You went to a 4-year school. Everyone said you're supposed to go to school and graduate. That's what, like, the status quo is. I'm only child, got to do it. So I got out, and it was really strange for me because I have this degree that I can't use now. And it's like, mine's really tricky because I have a criminal justice degree. I'm supposed to be like a lawyer or like doing something in the law.
Yeah.
And then, you know, for that realm, you have to have a squeaky clean record.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do something in the law.
Yeah.
You're going to work with like criminals. You can't have been one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was strange because, you know, A, I couldn't use what I had just worked so hard for. And B, I'm thinking like, you know, this is really a slap on the wrist. It's not like I'm a convicted felon. I got a couple like summary offenses, not even that serious. But again, it's not like I'm trying to be, you know, what, anything besides something in the law. But, you know, this is where God put me. So I'm in this, you know, I was like kind of like stuck in between a rock and a hard place, as they call it. So it was really difficult for me. And I think at the end of the day, being in that situation is what kind of helped me move over here.
Forward, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you had to do a couple of odd jobs, like pumping gas, making sandwiches. What was that time like for you?
That was even more strange because here you got this kid that's a college graduate and making sandwiches.
Right.
And it's, you know, it makes you think a little bit about society and, you know, the way that our education is kind of now depreciated a little bit. You got all these kids with bachelor's degrees that are working at McDonald's.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's almost like you need. It's almost like today the masters was the bachelors of yesterday. That makes any sense?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like you're just SOL if you have a high school diploma. So that was even crazier because, you know, I felt like I had wasted 5 years of education. You know what I mean? I learned a lot, but at the time I felt really confused. But I was really determined. Once I made the decision to come over here, I was very focused and determined. So I didn't care if I had to pump gas or make a sandwich because I knew where I'm going. You know what I mean? I didn't know it,
right?
But like I have a very strong drive. Like, you know, the more we get to, you know each other in life, you'll see that. But yeah.
But I bet you make a killer sandwich.
Oh, I can make a sandwich. Yeah, I'll tell you what.
What's your special sandwich?
I can make the hell out of a peanut butter and jelly.
Crunchy or creamy?
I actually like crunchy.
Yeah, high five! Okay. Yes, high five to the room.
Sandwiches in Tyler's house.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, okay, so you moved out here to LA, right?
Yeah,
and so you were on this quest, right? Like, you were like, what was the quest? Really, what was the reason?
Yeah, like, really just the quest, because I was getting, you know what? We're not going to get too deep into it, but I was involved in some silly stuff, right? The one thing about me is, you know, if I'm put in a situation, I understand it. I'm not someone who's going to, like, roll over and be, like, homeless on the street. That's just not me. So if you won't let me get it the right way, I'm going to get it the wrong way. You know what I mean? I'm going to get it, the bottom line is. And I was in a place where I was doing that. And I have a very strong sense of, like, you know, morality, what's right and wrong. So, like, I knew it was only a matter of time before I was going to get in trouble doing what I was doing. And, you know, I'd already had a little bit of run-in with the law in the past. I didn't want it to be something that I couldn't bounce back from. You know, you can bounce back from a summary offense. I mean, you start going into, like, convicted felon, it's kind of, like, it's hard to bounce back from that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So I knew, I felt like I had to get out. I had to you know, I call my cousins. You ever have, like, you know, your dad's best friend growing up? You know,
yeah.
You call him Uncle Mike.
Cousins.
It's not really your uncle.
Yeah. Right.
Because, like, I had my two cousins, my friends I grew up with, that have actually moved over here, and they were boxing. One of them was a personal trainer, but they had been over here, they had made it out of Philly like I wanted to, and they had very similar mindsets and mind frames, and it just seemed like a good team to go, like, try to start a dynasty with, or try something new. I didn't want to be in this little 9-to-5 gig. Like, I didn't want to settle. I felt like I was in, like, a midlife crisis at age 23, if that even makes any sense. So the quest was just for more. I didn't really know what it was, but I definitely know I didn't want to stay here. So I wasn't going to stay in this little cesspool. I moved over here, didn't know what I was going to do. I remember asking him all the time, like, how are we going to do? I was like, I don't know. I was like, all right, well, like, let me just ship my car over and let's just go, and we'll just figure it out when we get over there.
Yeah.
So I came over here, and I started personal training, actually.
But now, was that move scary because you really didn't know what to expect? You know, going across country, basically,
yeah.
And so
it's super scary, especially for a guy that's, like, you know, has a persona like I ain't scared.
Yeah.
Trust me, it's very scary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let's be vulnerable here. It's really scary because the unknown is always scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ask someone, what am I going to do when I get there? And they tell you, honestly, I don't know.
Right.
I look at my bank account. It's like, all right, I got like $500 to my name. I can ship my car over. I get over there to L.A. with $500 to my name. I got like a trunk full of clothes, and I can sleep on someone's floor. It's like, all right, now what? Everyone comes over here to do the same thing. At the time, I had no idea of, like, the industry. I wasn't even thinking about none of that. I was just thinking about, like, making a good living because, you know, I was in a place where I was messed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it was definitely really scary. Yeah.
But did you ever think that it would lead into acting?
No.
No.
Maybe like modeling or something, you know, because, you know, I've grown up and had a certain look my whole life. I could get that, you know what I mean? Because, and this is nothing against, like, a model or anything like that, but from the outside looking in, it doesn't seem like there's too much to it, right?
Yeah.
You sit there, you look the way you look, they take pictures of you. Maybe something like that. Maybe you're going to walk down the street, get discovered like that, but never acting, because I'd never done it. So it's like thinking you're going to be like a horse jockey and never rode a horse, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So no, I never thought I would be an actor.
And how many years ago was this happened when you finally came to L.A.?
2.5 years ago.
Wow.
It just happened. This is fresh, yeah.
Okay.
Now, what did your parents think, you know, moving across the country?
Crazy. Absolutely thought I was nuts. So crazy, because I talked to my dad all the time about it, and, like, you know, he starts getting emotional. And he's like, man, I'm so glad you just didn't listen to us.
Because
they were really really lobbying me to stay there.
Right.
You know, don't worry about paying rent. You know, my parents love me.
Yeah.
Don't worry about paying rent. You know, if you need a couple extra bucks, like, you know, like, you can ask us for it. And they don't have any money to give me.
Right.
But they're, you know, they'll do anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it's hard to move away from something like that. You know, I'm the only child here.
Yeah.
I have a very strong, you know, relationship with both my parents, but especially my mom. You know, the mother-son thing.
Yeah.
Mama's boy.
Yeah, you know, mama's boy. they really wanted me to stay there. And it's, you know, it's the whole bird leaving the nest thing.
Yeah.
It's just a love thing. They just love me. They just want me to be safe.
So out of all the cities that differ from Philly, I know you mentioned that your cousins were already here, but why else, like, why Los Angeles?
Because this is where my support system was at, and that's what was necessary, like, in my foundation. I know how, you know what I mean? I know I know, like, the ins and outs of, like, building something big, and then you have to have a really strong foundation or the house is going to fall down.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know anyone anywhere else. Like, if they were in Florida, I'd be going to Florida.
Florida, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like when you start to look at why they were over here, you start to understand, like, now what the Lord's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So that's why they're over here, because I was supposed to come here.
Right. So as you mentioned earlier, you started off as a personal trainer when you first moved out here.
Yeah.
And you were approached by a producer who liked your look and wanted you to audition for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You rarely hear of these stories where people are approached. It's like, it sounds too good to be true. Like, I can't imagine how awesome that was. Tell us that story. What was that like for you?
I had been out here for like 3 months.
3 months.
Yeah.
All right.
I have been here for 3 months, and this dude Charlie, my man Charlie Matera, he had approached me. He was producer of this smaller independent film, like not too much money, low budget, but he was having a really hard time casting this role for this film that he was producing. And on paper, the character was very much like me. You know, my look, my type of feel, you know, everything. So he was like, you know what, why don't you come audition for it? And I'm like, shoot, man, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. But I was like, you know, 3 months into it, you know, I always got that hunger for more. And it's like, I'm really present in life. So like, I understand when someone else might not, that this is an opportunity. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, something's going on here. Let's go. So I went in there and I was like butchering it. I was so bad. Because I didn't even know what sides were at this point. I didn't know how to like
side memorize. Of gravy?
Like, what are we even doing here? So like, I kind of just read through it, understood what the gist of it was. I was vibing with my friends. And I kind of started like ad-libbing everything. Everyone in the room was like looking at me like I was nuts. I wasn't following what was going on. But you know, a lot of times when you see a spark in someone, it's like they could be doing 10 things wrong. Mm-hmm. But you see a spark in someone, it'll have you call them back.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up getting a call back for it. And shortly after, I booked it. So that was the start of you know, my acting career. So in the future, they'll say...
So even though you butchered it, they still wanted
still
you.
Right? Yeah.
How awesome is that?
It's crazy. So I guess in the future, they'll say, you know, at some point that I was discovered at a gym.
Yeah. Do you have that in your bio? Tyler Lepley, discovered
at a gym.
Well, as you had just discussed a little earlier, you know, you had some pretty rough years leading up to your move.
Yeah.
After you booked this role and worked on this project, was this kind of like a glimmer of hope, you know, that you had something in your future?
Yeah, it definitely was a glimmer of hope. But what it definitely got, at this point in the story, it got confusing. Because, all right, now you have, all right, I did that one. Because I did that one the way I did, you know, he just set me up, I booked it. He set me up on another one, and I booked another one. So at this point, it started to get weird because I did two things with no help. So, like, you know, now I'm an actor, but, like, now what? You know what I mean? I don't really know, like, where to go from here. So I started thinking, I innately remembered what my football experience was like. I was really naturally gifted at football, which is why I didn't really work as hard as I should have.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when you have a natural gift, it's also your curse, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's how football was. Like, I had, at the end of the day, I had a failed NFL dream. I failed at it, no matter how you want to look at it. So I didn't want that to happen again. You know, here I was, naturally good at something. I'm booking it by myself. No representation, no acting class, no nothing. I'm just going in there. So at this point, I didn't want to make the same mistake twice. So I started listening to a couple of my friends that were saying, all right, look, you got to go to acting class. You got to get yourself some headshots. You got to get some representation. So slowly but surely, this is what I started to do just that and apply myself and really just – understand what God is putting in front of me. So you can't start goofing up opportunity after opportunity, because soon there won't be any, you know. And you know, tomorrow's not promised out here, especially in something like this industry. It's so fickle,
right.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? So I started to try to apply myself at this point. Yeah.
Did you have any I would say, since you're mentioning that, did you have any bad habits that resurfaced during this time that kind of tested you, or were you like, you know what, I'm done with that life, I'm done with messing up now, a whole new side of me is here?
Well, the thing is, it's like, you know, bad things can happen when you're in bad situations. The reason I needed to leave Philadelphia is because everything around me was bad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The friends I was hanging out with were doing bad things. You know, I was just in a, I was in a place where they didn't, it's almost like, you know, no one, a lot of times people don't even dream over there. It's just like, you know what, you wake up, it's like, it's gloomy, it puts you in a certain feel. Things around me weren't right. So I needed to get out of that situation, because if I got out of the situation, I wouldn't need to be dealing with this type of bad things. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I got out of there, you know, all that stuff stopped. I've never been in trouble since I left Philadelphia. You know what I mean?
Did any of your old friends, some of those bad influences, start popping out of the woodworks after you moved here and started seeing some success?
Yeah, a couple of them called me from jail asking for money.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, I have friends in, you know, doing big boy time right now as we speak. Steve and I just talked to him yesterday, actually. Steve Michaels, shout out to Steve. But you know, he'll be out in a couple months. But you know what? It's just really a thing I learned from being around these people is, you know, and I call them these people. These are my friends I'm talking about. It's like, you know what? Even these criminals, they're good people. They're just making bad decisions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, in life, there's consequences for your decisions. So it's like, you know, if you're going to make these decisions, you got to get out of there.
Yeah.
And a lot of people struggle with making a decision that big because it's life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really had too much trouble once I got out of there.
That's good. That's good. And, you know, I'm glad you didn't become a statistic.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is good.
You know what the statistic is. Yeah. Yeah. It's supposed to be a jail or something.
So now let's you know, kind of go back and talk about your first movie, which was Slumber Party Slaughter.
Slumber Party Slaughter.
Right? And you were able to work with Tom Sizemore.
I was, yeah.
That was your first film.
Yep. First film.
So what was that like? You know, because he's a big name in the game, you know, and so working with him, like what was that experience like?
It was cool, and you know, for a bunch of different reasons. First of all, I got to learn a lot. Mm. First time being on set, there's a lot of like small things you got to learn. You know, how to slate. What are we gonna do when we start blocking? You know, just terminology and stuff like that. So, I remember him and Robert Carradine actually took me out for lunch one time, and you know, teaching me the ropes and whatnot. You know, small things here and there, just lingo and stuff. So it was cool to be able to have, you know, a couple mentors.
Yeah.
To try to show you around a little bit as you start going. Yeah. And, you know, hats off to them because, you know, a lot of people aren't like that, and you don't have to be like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Take time out and try to school the young ones coming in. Because at the end of the day, some people get really, like threatened, like, you know, because this is a very competitive
industry,
you know. It's almost like, I don't want to teach him. He's going to come try to take my spot. So for them to go ahead and do that speaks volumes on who they are as men and people and, you know, actors, professionals.
I mean, that's amazing. Your mentor, David Carradine, you know, he just took me out for lunch.
He gave me some tips.
Right.
No big deal.
Did you feel like you had to play catch up with the rest of Hollywood, considering you'd never acted before, never taken classes, never did anything in the acting world?
Yeah, I think I did. I think that's why I hit it so hard, like when I hit it, because I felt like I was, you know, I felt like I was behind. You know, anytime you start something new and everyone around you's been doing it forever, you know, as a competitor, innately, you're going to feel like you're behind. So I definitely felt like that, and I think it helped me do it the way I've been doing it, you know what I mean? Put that type of effort into it and not take it for granted and stuff like that. I think that helped all, like, the process.
All right. Well, you are currently starring in OWN's hit, and I emphasize hit.
Right.
TV show, The Haves and the Have-Nots.
Yeah.
You star as Benny Young. But this audition process took 4 months.
Long time, yeah.
That, like, tell us about the process.
Yeah, well, I mean, the biggest difference between something like a Slumber Party Slaughter, which is an independent film, and something like a Baggage Claim, which is a, you know, a studio-backed movie, or The Have the Have-Nots, which is a studio-backed or a network-backed television show, is like the process. You know, I was able to book Slumber Party Slaughter in two visits.
Mm-hmm.
You get your audition, you get a call back from there, you kind of book it. Maybe a producer session. If it's bigger or something like that. But when you start to deal with, you know, studios or networks, you have what's called screen testing.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably had, through that 4-month process, probably saw them about 6 times. Because I had auditioned for both shows, The Have the Have-Nots and Love Thy Neighbor. He was creating two at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I did well with both of them, so I got the screen test for both of them. That's when, like, Tyler and, you know, everyone from Tyler Perry Studios will fly to wherever you're at or have you flown there, and they come watch, like, the best of the best now.
Mm.
All right, that went well, and then we had another audition. Then they wanted to have another screen test in Atlanta, so now they flew us all over there. So, like, the whole process was about 4 months, and I saw him about 5 or 6 times.
And you had to do one of those auditions in front of Tyler?
2 of them in front of Tyler, yeah.
Were you nervous?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all,
first of all, the dude's 6'6".
Right. Yeah,
Tyler's big.
Yeah.
And and you don't know him at this point. Like, after you know him, you know, he's a real genuine, sweet person. But, you know, you walk in 6'6", stone cold, stone face. He's very intimidating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially when there's no one there. It's just him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was like, yeah, it was definitely very intimidating to go ahead and do it in front of Mr. Perry.
Is that what you called him, Mr. Perry?
Mr. Perry, yeah, TC, whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Clearly you killed it. How do you survive the aftermath of an audition, especially one that grueling throughout that whole process and all the anxiety that comes with it?
Well, by this point, where are we at? This is like 6 months ago. I'm like a year and a half into it. At this point, it's like I'm just coming for anything. If it's not this, first of all, I understand what the Lord's doing now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not this one, it's going to be the next one. If it's not that one, it's for a reason. If it's this one, it's for a reason. I was at the point now where, you know, and I got representation at this point. I was at the point where my representation is now sending me out a couple, you know, a few times a week, several times a week. So you're getting a good amount of opportunities, right?
Yeah.
It's like a jump shot on the court. So if I'm like a young Jordan, you know, Jordan got cut from his first team.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so I'm a young Jordan out here. And it's like I'm shooting these shots. Some are airballing, some are bricking, some are just dribbling in, rimming out. Like, I'm going to hit one of these jump shots.
Yeah.
So it was to the point where it's like, you know what, after these auditions, I don't really get nervous. I'm going right to the next thing. I remember when I got back from the screen test in Atlanta, when I got the call, I was in the middle of like going to another audition. I was so hungry that there was no room for like anxiety or anything like that. So I didn't really feel like nervous after it because I was so focused on it. It's almost like a tunnel vision. I don't even see anything else. Yeah, it was crazy. I wasn't even feeling none of that.
I love your mindset.
I know, right?
So yeah. Inspiring.
And the sports analogies.
Yeah.
That's great.
Now, one nice thing I know that you said in recent interviews is that, you know, especially on your show, that a lot of the actors and even Tyler Perry and them, like, they kind of check their ego at the door.
For sure.
And so do you think that helps really, you know, create a culture and a real strong atmosphere and the camaraderie just kind of with you and the cast and the crew?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the reason for it. And it really all starts with Tyler.
Mm.
You know, when you got such a solid North Star, if you have someone like Tyler Perry, who's worth close to $1 billion,
right,
checking his ego at the door, you know, as humble as can be, leading every morning with a prayer. I mean, it's like you better shut up and check your ego at the door.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like it really is just a trickle down effect. So, you know, everyone is like that. That's really the first thing I always notice. Like every time I go on set, it's just the energy. You know, you can get anyone there to read lines with you. You can get anything from anyone there because everyone is really genuine. And, you know, it's a big thing that it's based in Atlanta, I think.
Mm.
Over here in LA, it's like, I don't know, something about over here makes people just not genuine.
Mm-hmm. It's the water.
It's the water. It's
definitely the water.
All that
Evian. It's the sunshine.
So, everyone is really cool over there and is so far from like egotistical that it's really a good team and solid foundation to be a part of.
It's good.
Yeah.
Well, since its debut in 2011, OWN has kind of struggled to build its ratings. Mm-hmm. But then your show comes along. You guys are just killing records all over the place, including becoming one of OWN's highest or the highest rated series premiere with 1.77 million viewers.
And finished off, the finale had like 2.7.
Even more, yeah. Right.
Right.
So
you guys strong. Are killing it out there. Yeah. Do you think that your show was just what the network needed?
It's definitely one of the things that the network needed. I mean, I think that there's lots of things that you can need anytime you start anything that's new.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is her first time having a network. I mean, it's a really big deal. It's not like owning a car.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, you know, there's going to be a lot of things that you need with it. You know, one of the first things that you need is something that's going to get your ratings up, the viewers up. So it was so cool to watch her. You know, she didn't bring Tyler Perry on board. You know, Tyler owns a piece of the network,
mm-hmm.
right? So it was really cool to watch them collaborate because she put a lot of trust into Tyler. You know, because she collaborated with Tyler so he could use his expertise and create some shows to get the viewings up, and that's exactly what he did. So it was great to be able to watch them collaborate and go ahead and do that, because that's definitely one of the things that she needs, you know, just more of the same thing. And, you know, I'm sure it's going to be a hit, just like your TV show was, just like anything else she does in life is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in past interviews, you've described the show as a sexy drama that pushes boundaries.
Yeah, it does.
Do you think that OWN needs more shows like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, being dynamic and diverse in anything you do is great. So especially with something that people are watching, because there's so many different demographics. You know, our show was great for, like, what's our target audience? Black women in between 25 and 55. It's like the number one show.
Right.
So it's like, you know what? You got 100% of the crowd. We just sectioned off 25% of it. Bang, lit all 25% on fire. All right, so we got 75% left. All right, so we're going to have to get this. Shoot that demographic now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, it's definitely one of the things that it needed. I think that, you know, with it being so new, you know, of course there's more things that it needs, but that will happen eventually. And, you know, these are great, great television and just great minds, period, that are putting this together. So I've no doubt in my mind that they'll get everything they need.
Right.
Yeah.
So with this being Tyler's first scripted drama series and Oprah's first series for OWN, did you guys feel any added pressure for it to succeed?
Yeah. You know, because like you said, it's the first of both worlds for both of them. His first television drama series, her first scripted series. He's changing homes. He's going from, TBS to Oprah Winfrey Network now. So there's a lot of firsts involved with it. And, you know, there's a lot of money put behind it. So it's like anytime you're dropping a lot of money, it's like, you know, I'm going to bite my nails, you know, even quicker now. So there was a lot of pressure to it. That's why it's so, you know, mind-blowing, the success that it's had.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, the chips were kind of... I'm not going to say they're stacked against you because, again, you're talking about Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey here. So, you know, they can really get through anything. But, you know, the chips are a little bit stacked against you. And they hit a grand slam out of the park.
Yeah, they did.
That's for sure.
Followed up with 20 episodes. And, you know, so, you know, we're leaving next week to go back down and shoot the next season.
Oh, we got you right
before
you go.
Right. Congrats. Yeah, congratulations.
Thanks. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So now, what do you hope to see happen with Benny's character?
I really want Benny's character to start opening up the way I know, you know, people pushed to the brink open up. Mm. You know, I'm one of these people that's backed into a corner. You know, you got the dog that you've raised since it's been a baby, and you know, you back into a corner. Eventually, it's gonna bite you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like I feel like Benny is, you know, he's the glue to his family, right? He's always trying to do the right thing. You got Candace is going crazy. My mom's working. Don't want to see that. So this push-pull between them, I mean, I'm always getting caught up, though. As a nice guy who's always taking the fall, I mean, that's only going to be able to happen so much before you see someone snap. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you have to think about as you watch Candace, you know, Tika Sumter's character, you know, we all talk about where we come from in this story. You know, the have-nots. Like, you know, she talks about seeing death and this and that. Okay, well, Benny grew up in the same household. Right, Benny's very capable of snapping, just like Candace is. Just a little more mature and understands the consequence. So you know, you get booked with two keys in your car and it's not yours, and you just get out and you get run over by a car.
Yeah.
You got all these bills. I mean, I'm probably not going to be nice when I wake up. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like I'm definitely eager to see Benny grow as a person. And just expand as a person, just like we all do in life as individuals.
Yeah, now, which one of your castmates do you think is most like their character?
Who's most like their character?
And who's least like their character?
You know what? You know who's least like their character? Is actually, I think, now, of course, there's parts of her that is like this, right? I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And I don't know her that well. But Tika's not like that. You know what I mean? Like she's very manipulative on the show, and she's raising hell on the show.
Yeah.
She's so sweet in real life. So she's probably the least like her character, even though she's killing her character.
Right.
Who's most like it? It's probably my mom, the woman who plays my mom, because she's just as sweet as she is in real life as she is on the show. And I would just say my answer is a lot because a lot of people aren't like they are in real life on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, Wyatt's not a drug addict. Mm-hmm. Gavin, who plays Jeffrey, is not gay in mm-hmm. real life. You know, Renee, who plays Catherine, doesn't have a serious drinking problem in real life.
Great actors.
That's what I'm saying. That's all these people are really good actors. So, those two are probably the most and least like the character.
Okay. Well, we just want to say thank you. See, I want to say thank you on behalf of all of your fans for Benny being shirtless on the very first episode. Yeah. That's one way to set up the entire season. Two-part question. Yeah. Number one, if you would like to show your abs, go ahead.
Feel free.
You know, we're not going to stop you.
Nick especially is excited.
No, I'm gonna look at you. Not.
And then the other part is you're a gym rat, right? So yeah. And you know you're a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. Do you feel any pressure, any added pressure to keep it tight, keep it right, since everybody's looking at your physique?
Yeah, I mean for sure, especially because you know right now, you know this is another situation I've been running into. Anyone that wants to watch me for any reason, I take as support. I don't get mad if someone says, you know what, you're a great actor, but you look like hell. Well, you know what, you watched it and you like mm-hmm. my character, thank you. You know, if someone says, you know, you can't act, but damn it, you're easy on my eyes, I'm going to watch you. It's like, oh, you know what, that's great.
You say that so confidently.
No, I said both sides of the spectrum. But either or, you know, I take it all as support and, you know, I don't take any hard feelings to it. So, like, with that being said, you know, I have had some people that... No, really, haven't said anything about my acting, just are focused on, like, what I look like. And it's flattering. It's great. I love it. But, you know, with people looking at you, yeah, of course there's some added pressure. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not like, you know, I'm around a bunch of, like, Joe Schmoes. You know what I mean? Aaron's like a GQ supermodel, like, right. Before the show. Mm. You know, Gavin is also a personal trainer, has, you know, great physique.
Right.
You know, so everyone on the show is great looking. So, of course, there's added pressure. You don't want to show up with this, you know, with this flab. You know what I mean?
So,
it's definitely added pressure.
It's okay.
Since the last show, I'm coming back with a vengeance. All right? Last season, when you see me without my shirt, I was like 208. I was like 210. Okay, I'm pushing 222 right now.
Oh, all right,
so Benny, go ahead. Benny threw on some weight.
Benny bicep.
Yeah, Benny bicep.
I'm gonna throw that in
Benny
there.
Tricep,
that was a
Benny
two-part question.
What? What was the second part?
Oh, the first question was about your abs.
Oh, okay,
it's
what?
More of a statement.
It was a statement. What? What about my abs?
You're more than welcome to show them.
Oh, so this is a question now. Do I want to show my abs?
No, it wasn't a question.
Okay, so you're telling me to show my abs to you.
Yes.
Okay, so once we wrap
give
this up,
give us a sneak peek of Benny season 2.
There
okay,
you go.
So once we wrap
for
up,
for your fans,
yeah,
this
for the
is fans, for
the fans, right? So he's like, please stop. Okay, well after this, I guess we'll exchange contact info. You know, maybe I'll get to
show
fans.
You my abs. What about the fans?
Oh, it's for the fans now. Okay.
What can they expect from Benny's abs?
Well, all you got to do is follow me on Instagram, at Ty Leppler, uh-huh. And I got a couple pictures of my abs so, you know, y'all can keep up with me.
Do your abs have a Twitter account?
Do that.
No, abs have a Twitter account. Not yet.
Oh, kidding. Yeah,
you know, I understand. It's tough being an international sex symbol. I get the same thing.
Nick, you were the one that told us to ask him to show his abs.
See, he's funny. Come on. Got jokes, right?
See, this is what I had to deal with on Friday.
We keep things entertaining. All right. I guess we'll give you a break on that one, but mm-hmm. maybe yeah. after we will take you up on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Tyler Perry. Obviously, he's a huge media giant. He's been extremely successful in this industry, mm-hmm. to say the least. What have you learned from working with him?
So much. You know what? Tyler, first of all, I've learned so much from him as an actor. You know, only being 2 years into the game, to be able to go down there and be underneath you know, a deadline like that. You know, we shoot an episode, pretty much like an episode a day.
Oh, wow.
Maybe sometimes 2 days, you know, depending if we're getting or reshooting or something. But that's really quick. I remember I did an episode of 90210, and it took about 8 days to film one episode.
Just one, yeah.
Yeah, so that shows you how quick we move.
Right.
So being under that type of, like, you know, stress or duress or whatever the word would be, you know, you learn on your feet, so you learn really quick. I learned so much as an actor from him. But, you know, as you know, we all have seen in his past, he likes to break fresh faces, right? Me being one of them. He takes a lot of time outside of set to talk with you about what this journey is now going to be like. You know, mm-hmm. you're going to get a little bit of money now. You know, you're going to have people are going to start recognizing them. You know, you're going to have the girls going to want to get a little something. You know, your family's going to start going nuts. What are you going to, like, you know what I mean? Like, how are you going to act? So I've learned a lot from him more as a person, actually, and how to deal with this onslaught of whatever you like to call it, you know, breaking into this industry, really, than I have as an actor. And I've learned so much as an actor. So when you combine the two, I mean, I've just learned so much from Tyler in the last year of being around him. You know, he's really grown more from like a boss into, you know, a mentor and really as a friend now. You know what I'm saying? Tyler's my friend.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that it's real cool.
I know, like,
sits you guys just, down like that.
Right. You have, like, the most amazing mentors and stories. And, like, you know, some people have to go to school for years and years and years.
Yeah.
You're getting the training that people are paying for.
Yeah,
like,
paying for, yeah.
Man.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's and you know what? It's really all, it all goes back to what God is doing. You know, I don't want to sit here and, like, beat it over the head or sound like I'm talking in a sound bite. But it's like, you know what? Once I book the job, sometimes I'll sit, and I'll think about everything that took to get here. And it's not until I look at the whole thing, and I'm far from done. I'm only 26. But, like, I look at this last 2 years and even, like, the last 4 years, going through the football, going through everything. God has put so many clues along the way that, like,
right.
I'm just starting now. Again, I remember when I first moved here, I wasn't even acting yet. Someone at the gym, I was working them out. Her name is Julia. And she was like, have you ever, like, thought about acting? I was like, nah. She's like, wow, like, you should do, like, a Tyler Perry film. You'd be, like, really good in, like, a Tyler Perry film. And this is, like, you know, I didn't even, like, remember that until I had booked it. You know what
right.
I mean? So it's, like, to see how it really has all come
unravels.
On like that. Yeah, it's just, this is God's work right now.
Oh,
so
man.
I can't take too much credit for it.
All right. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
There you go. Well, speaking of it, you know, I know many people would love to be in your shoes right now, you know, on a hit TV show, you know, a hit Tyler Perry TV show. So when people ask you how you got the role and how you booked the role, like, what do you tell them?
Well, going back to the first part of what you said, a lot of people want to be where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
They want to be where I was at 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, rarely in life do you get handed something like this. You know what I mean? You have to kind of find your way to it. But, you know, when people see where I'm at and they say that, you know, they want to have my life or they want to be where I'm at right now, what do I say to them was the question, right?
Yeah.
I say to them that, you know, first of all, this isn't given. You have to really be able to work for it. You got to have really thick skin.
Mm.
You know, how many no's are you going to hear before you hear yes?
Right.
A lot. So, you know, I really urge people to really double think. Is this what you really want to do? Now, if it is what you want to do, you have to be willing to cast everything aside and go after it, because everyone's going to tell you you're stupid, first of all.
Mm.
No one, I mean, yeah, you're going to have a couple people that will support you. Yeah, there's a couple loved ones in your life. Yeah, you know, my parents supported me. They said they loved me. Did they really get it and understand it? Not really. You know, trying to get me to move back home or, you know, you got a friend. You know, I had a friend, still my friend, but I remember when I was in this focused mode, I was only getting, I had this personal training business, because even throughout all this, still got to keep food on the table.
Yeah.
So I had like enough money for rent. I had enough money for my electric to keep the lights on. I didn't even have a car at this point. And I had enough money for my acting class. Like, that's all I was spending my money on. I remember one time I had a phone bill that was due. It was like something stupid, like $70, and I didn't have the money to pay it, but I had money to go to my acting class. Like, I could have easily dipped into my acting class and paid this, and I didn't do it. And I remember I was talking about, like, you know, my acting class, I got this audition, like, I booked this, I'm all right, if I book this, let me get that, like, all right, here we go. I'm starting to get, I have my friends talking to me, and he's like, yo, bro, like, why are you, like, worried about that? Like, bro, you can't even pay your phone bill. Like, you probably just pay your phone bill. And I was like, the part of me that was listening to him was like, you know what? Like, you're right. I should probably just pay this phone bill. Like, you know what I mean? I don't even have a phone. Talking about going to class. But, like, the majority that didn't listen to me, the same majority that is, like, here now, the tunnel vision part of me was like, you know what? I'm not listening to you right now.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? It's like, and that's where you have to get here. So you have to really, if this is what you really want, you have to understand you might have to, you know, you might have to grow away from some of these people. You can love some of these people from a distance.
Right.
You've got to start cutting people out of your life that sends the wrong message. But it's like, you know what? If you're not down with this movement, you cannot be on this boat. If I have to row it by myself, I'm going to row it by myself, so be it. And if I'm going to drown, it's going to be me in the box when I'm in a coffin. You know what I mean? So to these people, I really urge you to be serious about it. Really have a drive. do not half-ass it. You know what I mean? Because you're going to end up like 90% of these other actors out here that's not working. Or, you know, you find them on Skid Row or something like that. And, you know, God bless everyone. But a lot of those people are people that moved out here with a dream.
Yeah.
And are too stubborn to go back to it, you know. Yeah. But I'm the same way. You know, this all, if this all was over tomorrow, you know, I would thank God. I would go down fighting out here. There's right. no way I'd move back. I'd be dead out here.
Yeah. 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 So did you... Or were you a fan of Tyler Perry, or were you familiar with his work prior to working on the show?
Yeah, I was really familiar with his work. I wouldn't say I watched a whole lot of it besides the Madea stuff. Mm. I thought Madea was so funny.
Yeah.
So, you know, anytime the Madea films were on, I would always watch that because I just thought they were so funny. But I was definitely familiar with his work. I mean, at the end of the day, he's on the cover of Forbes.
Yeah. Right.
So if you're looking at a business, right. man, you don't even have to be in the movies or television realm. If you want to be a successful businessman, he is you know, a hell of a mentor or an example to try to follow. So for sure, definitely knew all about Tyler Perry.
Okay, well, you got your first big movie in Black Hollywood coming up. Baggage Claim, in theaters September 27th. Make sure you support that. But you were on the set with Paula Patton, Taye Diggs, Boris Kojo, Jill Scott, Adam Brody, Jermaine Hunter, Ricky Smiley. This is crazy that you have so many people in Black Hollywood that are on this movie. What was that like for you, being, you know, working on set with them?
It was big. You know, I actually did this before I did The Haves and the Have-Nots.
Okay.
So this was like the first...
Oh, wow. It was a while ago.
It was a while ago, yeah. So this was like the first time. And that's where you get to kind of see the turnover rate. Tyler Perry's like, he shoots it, chops it up, and distributes it like real quick.
Yeah.
You know, a normal turnaround time for like this film was probably like a year. Mm-hmm. So I actually did this way before I did the show.
Okay.
But that was probably the first time... That was the first time I got on set, and it was like star-studded. You know, all these, you know, great actors that you just mentioned. So they actually, you know, for the most part, had their egos checked as well. I mean, I had conversations with Paul. I had big, long conversations with Taye Diggs. You know, he was really, like, mentoring me. I remember we had, like, a 30-minute, because all my scenes are with Paula and Taye Diggs. You know, you would call it, like, a cameo, what I have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, you know, sitting and chatting with Taye Diggs, man. He took... You know, time out. He wanted to know where I was from. He had some advice and knowledge to drop on me. So it's cool anytime you can go, you know, be in a situation like
right.
that. And I remember when I ran into Dave, the director, Dave Talbert, for the first time. You know, he was cracking jokes. You know, because everyone said so silly. Everyone thinks I look like Drake. Here we go, right? So you know, I came.
You don't want to say it.
He had these Drake jokes. He had everyone rolling. Like it was really fun. Like when I first, as soon as I got on set, like everyone was laughing. We had a great time. So it was very. It was a very cool atmosphere to work in, and I got to learn. You know, I got to learn from the greats. So it was like I went in, I did my thing. You know, we had lots of fun, and I learned as much as I could before I bounced out. You know, at the end of the day, you don't want to be one of those cats who's just
overstay
talking.
Your welcome.
Yeah, you know what yeah. I mean. Like you got at some point, you got to shut up and do your job. So my hat's off to the whole cast, and you know. The North Star of that, David Talbert, actually started out as a book, so
yeah,
mm-hmm. took a long way for him to take that and bring it into this. So it was
cool. Were you like starstruck, like, ooh, hey, Paula Patton?
Yeah, right. I was like, hold on, because you know she's my ex, she's like my ex girl in the film. I was like, all right, can I get a kiss?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ex girl, tell Robin like go somewhere else.
Gotta get this chemistry right. Let's get this chemistry.
Robin, don't worry about it. Let me just smooch on your girl real quick.
That's funny. What was your audition process like for this movie?
For this movie, I actually auditioned for. A bigger role.
Okay.
Didn't get that role. And a lot of times what happens is, like, I actually auditioned for Taye Diggs' role. He's, you know, he's a really big role in it. And I didn't end up getting it. And a lot of times when you have these, like, cameo roles, they'll fill them in with the people that went for the bigger roles.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually got handed this role.
Okay.
But it was because they watched me audition for, like, you know, the bigger role. Well, you know, which was cool. So it was quick. It was a one. No, I went in twice. I auditioned for two parts, didn't get those parts. But from watching me, you know, I was good enough for them to give me this part. And you know, anything in a movie like this is great. Even to just sit there and not speak. I mean, I do speak. I have a couple scenes. But even if I was like an extra, I'd be cool with it. You know, it's cool to just be able to learn from those cats.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you're like Allen Iverson, you know, going to try to learn from Michael Jordan, it's great. It's surreal.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so then you mentioned the director, the successful playwright, David E. Talbert.
Dave.
He's amazing.
He is. He's a real cool dude, too.
What was it like working with him?
It was actually like kind of just like working with a friend, man. He was real cool with he was similar to Tyler in asking for your input. You know, what do you think you might say here? So it's like when you got someone that's like that, that's not really like a tyrant bearing down on you
right.
to ask for your input. It makes it more comfortable because at this point we're collaborating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and, you know, I'm not just doing what I'm told, which is cool. You know, I'll do what I'm told. You're the boss. I get it. But it's a treat. It's special when someone can open up, collaborate with you. And he was very collaborative. So it was really easy going. It was lots of fun. At the end of the day, this is a comedy. So right. it was lots of fun to work on it.
How was this different? How was working with David different from Tyler?
Probably really just the genres of what. I mean, between the two men, what's the difference? Is there's more similarities than there are differences.
Okay.
They're both great people, both, you know, God-fearing men, both collaborative, take time off a set to speak with you, don't make you feel like you're just, you know, a day player, get the hell out of here, you know, right. genuine. The difference is probably just, probably like the speed of it. You know, we shoot really quick with mm-hmm. Tyler, and, you know, he even writes some scenes, like, on the spot. Dave was, you know, this started from a book. So there's a lot more time put into it. Like, not that there wasn't a lot of time put into the have the have-nots.
Right.
But, like, he gets the idea. He's on the spot. He's writing it right now. And that's what you saw. That great stuff, that's, like, the process. Happens right now, and then it's on. Dave's process was just a little more meticulous, if you will. People just work at different speeds. You know,
yeah.
One's not better or worse than the other.
Right.
They're just different.
Right.
So his was probably, I think, you know, more of, like, a longer process.
Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of TV and films would you like to do in the future?
I think if you looked away, if I would like to like blueprint my career, I would say I want this to do great. I want to exercise all my options. I want to go for all the seasons that we can go. I would like to then maybe do, you know, it's unlike it was in the 90s mm-hmm. or the 80s. Television's huge now. They're making great television now.
Right.
It's great money. I'd like to maybe get on, you know, after this is successfully finished, maybe something on like network television, like ABC, NBC,
mm-hmm.
something like that. Maybe book a pilot and take it that route. In between those, maybe I book a couple commercials here or there, a couple movies. And then I want to start transitioning to making big cinema, you know, big films and transition into that, you know, movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That will probably take me. I want to endorse a couple things. You know what I mean? I have this whole gym thing. That's in the back pocket. I mean, you know, Madonna just like endorsed like a chain of gyms. I know mm-hmm. she definitely knows what she's doing working out wise. I mean, she looks great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like, I could re-engineer everyone's body inside out in this room. You know what I mean? Because I know exactly what I'm doing. It's like science. I call it body sculpting. You know what I mean? Like sculpt your body up. So I mean, that's in the future. That will be there. I mean, you won't see it until my platform is right though. Cause like I'm very calculated. I'm a one shot, one kill typer. So like I won't bring that out until it's ready to be displayed. Before all this, I mean, at some point I'm currently working on an EP right now. Before all this, I actually
man of many talents.
Yeah, no. But it's like, you know what? I understand that you got to water one plant at a time. I'm not gonna mm-hmm. sit here and try to water all these plants and then complain when they're all only one inch off the ground.
Yeah.
I'm gonna water this one right here, and it's gonna explode. You know, it's gonna give me the platform to start watering all these other plants. You know, I mean, you see a lot of people that make the mistake and just try to spread
right.
all the water everywhere, and it's like you kind of thin yourself out, water it down, so to speak. No pun intended.
Right. You said EPs, are you gonna rap?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like before I came out
Drake.
Here.
Drake?
Yeah, it's very, very Drake-ish.
Hey, Drake joke star, right?
I'm just kidding, Drake. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
Tyler.
You're funny, right?
That's so Drake.
But it was like, you know what? Before I came out here, actually, me and my friend put down like 150 songs in like,
wow.
in like a four-month span. So
wow.
it's like we were really kicking them out. And I mean,
yeah.
I have all of them right now. But again, you know, I want to perfect them and whatnot, and I don't want to seem any type of way. I don't want to just do it because I can right now. I want to do it the right way. So, you know, in due time, all that stuff is going to happen, but it's like, you got to take one step at a time. You have to really understand the process. Each step is very important.
Right.
You're right.
Who are
You're
some
right.
actors that you dream of working with someday?
Definitely Denzel. I've always been a huge Denzel fan. Definitely want to work with Denzel. I would love to work with Meryl Streep.
Mm.
She's great.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to work with, who else I want to work with? I would like to work with Michael B. Jordan, too. because he's like a peer. I mean, we're all peers, but he's like an age mate. He's, you know what I'm saying? I really respect his work. I love what he's doing in Hollywood. And I would like to work with him as well.
Do you prefer TV or film?
I don't, you know, I don't really have, at this point, I don't have a preference because I'm learning. I still have so much to learn. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I had the answer, I'd pick television because I love my home right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I love going and working on that set.
Right.
I haven't had too much experience in films yet. They have done a couple independent ones, and I spent 2 days on Baggage Claim. But right now, television. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I enjoy being in front of the camera. So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. So just based off of everything that you've accomplished so far, right? How would you say that your life lessons and your child's lessons like that in Philly have helped you out with your career?
First of all, if I'd have got all this money and all this attention right now, I had never been humbled before. You wouldn't like the person you saw. I was way too arrogant. You have to understand, like, everything was given to me when I was younger. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's why you see these cats, not necessarily like in a money standpoint, but like, you know, you see these, you've seen people before that have all this money and, you know, their nose is up in the air. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, it's the same thing with like, if someone gives you power, like, I'm like the football star. I got all girls. Like, I'm not worried about none of, you know what I mean? It just changes your demeanor.
Right.
So it's like, if I didn't go through any of that, you probably wouldn't like the person that I was. It was just too much. I wasn't as humble as I was. Yeah. It's a big reason why I'm so mature, as we spoke about earlier. It helps me. It helps me when I'm in rooms now. I can really communicate with people. I listen before I talk. You know, really small stuff that you're supposed to learn when you're growing up. And for me, I did learn that growing up. So. For me, I wouldn't change it for the world because, you know, at the end of the day, it was like a slap on the wrist. But at the time, it was the severity of it was very real. And because it was so real, it helped me learn that lesson. And then when I got out of it, it was okay because it was just like a slap on the wrist.
Mm-hmm.
So all in all, I couldn't thank God more for it. So it definitely helped me with where I'm at today.
That's a blessing, man. So the ladies must know. Are you single, taken, dating, what?
I'm single right now. You know what? I have someone that I do care about.
Okay.
I do. But for me, this is another very focused thought. I'm very calculated. Like, I'm still learning. I'm still finding out who I am at 26 years old, mm-hmm. right? The one thing I do know about women is what they need, what they deserve, right? If I was going to make you my girlfriend, you would have to be my number one priority, right? It's how it should be. That's how a good relationship is supposed to work. You don't want to have a girlfriend and you kind of brush her to the side because I'm trying to do this. That's not really, that's not what a gentleman does, and that's not what a real relationship is supposed to be like. So because I understand that, you know, I would be lying if I told any woman you'd be my number one priority right now. Not as a disrespectful thing. It's just a very focused thought. I'm very focused on what I'm doing. And I know, I think, you know, this is like my calculation on my gamble. I feel like at 35, even though breaking into the industry or finding someone to settle down with, both of them could be hard at 35. But which one is going to be harder? Like, breaking into an industry at 35 years old or finding someone to try to settle down with? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like it would be harder at 35, age-wise, everything. I mean, come on. Talking about Hollywood here, they talk about you like you're old when you're 29. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, I'm really understanding this opportunity that I have right now. So I'm choosing to put 100% into it as opposed to 85. And then have 15 over here as my girlfriend, because that's not fair for this girlfriend who only has 15% of my time. It's just not fair.
Right.
So, you know, right now, and it's also hard because I'm very capable of loving. My parents are still together. I have a very great example of what real love is like. Mm-hmm. I see it every day. Or, you know, I talk to them every day. And when I'm over there, I see it every day. So, you know, it can be difficult at times because, like I said, I have, you know, a big heart. I can love very easily. But for right now, I'm choosing not to have a girlfriend. So I can focus on what I feel is important.
It's deep stuff.
It is.
All right. Well, we like to play games here.
Let's play games.
next, and we have a really fun game for you.
Yeah. Okay.
We are going to test your Tyler Perry movie knowledge.
Oh, you messed up. You're trying to get in trouble.
You better.
Tyler's watching too. 100%
on this.
Oh, shoot. Hold on.
Wait a minute. No. You got to put your phone down.
No, I'm sorry. I had like 5 missed calls. I just wanted to check them real quick. Go ahead, though.
All right, so we're going to read you the description of the movie,
okay,
and you will give us the name. And if you don't get 100% on this...
Listen, first things first, I'm not getting 100% on this. There's no way I'm going to get 100%.
Steven, can we get some of that game show Jeopardy music?
Oh, shoot.
There we go.
Oh, my God.
Yo, you ready for this,
crazy.
Tyler?
Yes, I am.
All right, this first one's a little easy.
Okay.
We'll start off easy. 4 couples go on a couples retreat. This also has a sequel.
Why'd I get married?
There you go.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on. That's easy.
I told you the first one was easy.
Okay.
Got a...
100% so far.
one for one.
All right, let's set this down with 100%. I'm just kidding.
Here we go.
Waiting on y'all.
So, Perry's Downton Abbey tale of 2 families, one wealthy and one working class.
The haves and the have-nots.
No, this is a movie.
Oh, I know what it is. I already know what it is.
Which one?
A Family That Prays.
There you go. Okay. Good job.
All right, here we go.
There you go, 100%.
Based on 1970s Tony-nominated play, this is the only Perry movie that is not branded as such, but does have a star-studded female cast.
All the ladies in this one.
I know what this is.
Is the 100 dropping down?
No, I know what it is. Oh, my God. I know what this is.
It's okay to be 75%. Don't worry about it.
90.
How much more time?
There's a bunch of colors.
Can I have a hint?
There's a bunch of colors.
Michael Ealy drops kids.
I know what this is.
Whoopi Goldberg's in it.
Yeah, and so is Rashad. Yes. I know what this movie is.
But you don't know the title.
Look at you. Oh man, should have used that Google.
It's not like I can do battle by myself. Nope.
I don't know.
Four.
Is it the countdown?
Four.
There's a lot of colors.
And there's girls.
All right, he already missed it. Four color girls.
Oh, 4 color girls. That's what it is. Okay. Yeah, that's my bad.
All righty.
I'm supposed to know that.
Hey, you got to be a Tyler Perry expert.
Right. Now, that was good.
Where were we at? We're at 2 out of 3 right now.
Right. 2 out of 3.
A movie about a fallen woman turning her life around.
Come on, how many? You already named it.
How many characters? What, I already named it?
Yeah.
You're wrong the last time.
How many characters what?
How many characters are like that in some of his stuff? A woman that turned her life around? Come on.
Taraji P. Henson.
You already named
I just said it. What does it start with? I already said it, first of all. Oh, I could do battle by myself. Okay.
That's like a half point.
No, it's not. I already said it.
That's a half.
You should get this one. This was Tyler Perry's debut feature film and the first entry in the Madea franchise.
Oh, Madea's big...
Nope. Happy Family?
No, but
it's
before that one.
Madea's Family Reunion.
Nope.
Before that one.
Kimberly Elise doesn't even start with Madea. Shamar Moore. Kimberly Elise.
It was
Shamar
the very
Moore.
First.
When you have something to write, you write this in a...
Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
There you go.
Got it. Woo! See? I just had to think about it a little bit.
You didn't get 100%. I only got one wrong. You got 2 wrong.
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
one
no,
and
I
half.
Didn't.
One and
you
a half.
Gave me half a point. I got that right.
All right. We want to just take a little bit of time to give you some bragging rights and tell us
what's next
for you, where can we expect to see you next, promote anything you want to promote. Let us know how we could stalk you.
So next we have the next season of the Have the Have Nots. We're leaving next Thursday to go down and film it. On Wednesday, we're going to have the screening for Baggage Claim. That's going to come out September 27th. So you guys will be able to go check that out. When I get back, is going to be pilot season. Mm-hmm. So at this point, it's really... You know, right now I'm really sticking to my process. You know, I could get back. You know, this is a nice, right now the rate we're going, it's like two seasons per calendar year. They're about 2.5, maybe 3 months apiece, right? 5 to 6 months a year and 2 seasons worth of money. It's a good chunk of time. It's a good chunk of money. I could sit on it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I'm choosing not to, because that's not the process that got me here. I didn't just like sit on those two little movies and just, you know, look at IMDb and just look at my two credits. I chose, you know what I mean? I chose to be proactive in it. So that's what I'm gonna continue to do. Right now I can't go out for too many series regular roles because I'm locked into a contract to do that. Mm-hmm. But I can still go out for movies. I can still go out for like guest star roles and like commercials. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm really going to try to put my foot on the pedal to go and get. And it's going to help me try to transition to what I want to eventually anyway, which is, a big time movie. Exactly. So, you know, for right now, you'll continue to see me in the Have Nots, the movie that's coming out, Baggage Claim. This season is going to air in January. So, like, you'll be able to watch me in these places while I'm, you know, continuing on my process. Mm-hmm. But for right now, it's like, you know what, at 26, I've had some success. I want to pat myself on the back. I never want to, you know, sit here and seem like I'm unappreciative of what's going on. I am all day, always. I always pray to God about it. I'm thankful for it. But it is only a first step. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So where you guys will see me is continue to stick to my process and just book more and more things. I mean, I'm very fresh in the game, two years. You know what I mean? So yeah. I just want to continue to get better. You'll definitely catch me at Ivana Chubbuck Studios every week. I mean, I'm putting serious work in down there, and I'm trying to develop something that's naturally gifted in me and be great at it. You know what I mean? Right now, I'm good, but I'm really far from where I want to be. You know?
Yeah.
So you'll definitely catch me just sticking to the process.
Well, we'll be looking out for you.
Yeah, cool.
We wish you the best of
Thank
luck.
You so
Tell
much.
Us where we could find you online.
Well, my number is just like,
hold on.
So you can find me. The best way is social media wise. My Instagram and my Twitter handles are the same. Pretty easy. At TYLEPLEY at Ty Lepley. No spaces, no underscores or anything. It's just my name. Or you could like my official Facebook page at, well, not at, but Tyler Lepley with a space.
Okay.
Yeah. Mom, that's about it.
Awesome. Well,
yeah,
thanks for joining us today, Tyler.
So
we had a lot
me.
Of fun with you.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. I've never done a game like that.
Yeah,
I've never
hopefully heard. Next time you'll ace it.
Yeah, right.
Again.
Just don't tell
good.
Tyler I got to ace
it.
All
right.
I'm
sending
right
a tweet to Tyler. Well, thanks for joining us. Find me on Twitter at @IamJessicaKing. Where can we find you guys?
As always, hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at MegScoop, like scoop of ice cream.
Find me all over the internet at the Nick Perdue.
Thanks for joining us today for Black Hollywood Live next. We'll see you next time. No pun intended.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Dario Kristen, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network. If you have questions or comments, tweet us at BHL Online or email us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. For more exclusive content, visit blackhollywoodlive.com. This has been a presentation of the Black Hollywood Live Network.
Hollywood
redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.